The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
You're tuned to Thursday's edition of the 9 till noon show. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Greg Hughes. Coming up on the show later, the ever popular Dr. Joe Kelly will be joining us and we'll have lots more to come between 9 and 12 noon. If you want to have your say or raise an issue, you can get in touch with us by calling 074 91 25 000, or you can text or WhatsApp 086 60 25 000, and you can also email comments at highlandradio.com. First this morning though, we're going to have a look at what's making the papers, and starting with the Irish Times. Support for government parties holds steady as Sinn Féin slumps is the headline. Support for the government parties is holding steady while Sinn Féin has slumped since the spring, according to the latest Irish Times Ipsos B&A opinion poll. There is a substantial increase in support for independence since the last poll in April, the figures show, as economic threats loom for the coalition from US tariffs and concerns about multinational sectors. The government parties show little movement in support since April. The state of the parties when undecided voters and those unlikely to vote are excluded is Fianna Fáil on 22%, which is no change, Sinn Féin on 22%, which is down 4, and Fine Gael on 17%, up 1. Among the smaller parties, the Social Democrats is at 6%, down 1, Labour is on 4%, down 1 also, the Green Party is at 3%, there's no change there, People for Profit Solidarity is on 2%, down 1, and Aintu is on 2%, up 1 point. Independents and others are at 22%, which is up 5, a figure that includes the Independent Ireland Party. So I suppose these polls change from time to time, but I'm sure Sinn Féin would have been hoping for a better outlook there, given that there's so much dissatisfaction with government in terms of housing and the cost of living, and I suppose the healthcare sector. But the next poll, I suppose they could be up again. It's very hard to know. The Irish Independent, a report reveals the areas with the highest and lowest jumps in house prices. So the cost of a typical property has shot up by €35,000 in the past year, putting a renewed squeeze on home buyers. Prices jumped again in May, the 21st month in a row of rising home values. In the last 5 years, buyers have had to pay an additional €74,000 to secure a home. The National Property Price Index increased by 7.9% in the 12 months to May. This is up from 7.6% in the year to April, according to the Central Statistics Office. So the area outside of Dublin with the largest growth in house prices was the border region, which consists of Cavan, Donegal, Leitrim, Monaghan and Sligo at 11.1%. That's a huge increase. And to think that a house price has rose by €35,000, that's more than a deposit for some properties. And, you know, if you look at it then, on the other hand, if you have a house and you're thinking of selling, I suppose now is a good time. And many landlords, you can't really blame them, would be selling up to get a good return on their property. And that's having a knock-on effect then in terms of tenants being put out of their homes possibly. And then, you know, they can't afford to buy a house. Nobody at that, you know, with that price could afford a house. And just the lack of housing, I suppose, is compounding the housing crisis. Turning now to the Irish Daily Mail. €250 million winners to keep feet on ground despite all the bread. A brand new multimillionaire has spoken of the newsflash moment he learned his family had won a EuroMillions jackpot worth €250 million. Imagine that. I don't know if I could actually believe it. The member of the Cork clan who wants to stay anonymous described the win as surreal, and his family insist that they have promised each other they will keep their feet firmly on the ground. One even said they will still be having my favourite ham and cheese sambo for lunch every day. I think it'd be very hard to keep your feet on the ground, wouldn't it? I think it was part of a family syndicate, so even winning, you know, a fraction of that €250 million, I don't know what I would do with it. I would do so much, actually. But I would like to think that maybe I would be smart about it and leave it sitting for a while to decide what I really want to do, but probably not. The Irish Daily Star. Communications Minister Patrick O'Donovan has insisted he is not behind a leak which claimed Ann Post is on the brink of collapse. The Irish Daily Mail reported the semi-state company is facing a dire financial situation with cash reserves below €1 million for the first time. It also claimed Mr O'Donovan told the Cabinet it would have made a substantial loss were it not for election-related mail. However, AMPOS chief David McRedmond dismissed the claims as utter garbage. He said he is absolutely furious and described it as an irresponsible leak by a government minister. I'm sure this would have created fear among many postmasters across the country, particularly in rural areas, as those areas seem to be hit first whenever savings need to be made somewhere. And I suppose people living in those rural areas as well, you know, they would be fearing for a downgrade in services. And yeah, but in fact, actually, their profits rose, and I think they made a 10, their earnings rose and they made a €10 million profit. So I suppose it's secure at the moment. In The Sun, inquest of trio killed by mum is set. The dad of three children killed by their mother has welcomed the news their inquest will be held before the year's end. But Donegal man Andrew McGinley hopes there will be an extended scope to the inquest of Connor 9, Dara 7 and 3-year-old Carla. Their bodies were discovered at their family home in Newcastle, County Dublin on January the 24th, 2020. At the opening of the inquest into their deaths in September 2020, it was revealed the postmortems found they had all died from suffocation. Their mum, Deirdre Morley, was found not guilty of their murder by reason of insanity following a trial at the Central Criminal Court in May 2021. I am sure many of you will have heard Andrew McGinley on Highland Radio before, and he was calling as well for, you know, a review of the Mental Health Act so that families could have more of an insight into, you know, the treatment their family member was receiving and, you know, what progress they were possibly making. So I suppose that is an important element to take into consideration there as well. The Irish Daily Mirror today, Palestine GAA calls off its Irish tour. GAA Palestine confirmed a tour of Ireland by a group of children will no longer go ahead. The party of 33 youngsters was scheduled to arrive in Dublin tomorrow, but they were denied entry by the Department of Justice. A GAA Palestine spokesperson said even if visas are issued at this late stage, delays at checkpoints and borders are likely to cause severe disruptions and extended delays, giving the children hope again, they say. Only for that hope to be dashed once more would be too cruel. Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan said, I am not going to change visa rules simply because there is media pressure put on me. I think it's crazy that, you know, 33 children couldn't get into Ireland, and to think of where they're coming from, that, you know, short escape from what is going on in their own area. It's just crazy. And the spokesperson did also say that, you know, they were disappointed about the commentary that they hadn't provided the right documentation and that they were late in their appeal submission. So I suppose there's still a lot of questions to be answered there. Looking now at the Donegal News, Rafo Pastoral Centre Counselling Service to become an independent organisation is the headline there. The Rafo Pastoral Centre Counselling Service is undergoing a significant transformation as it prepares to become an independent organisation, formally separating from its church roots. This marks a significant milestone for the long-standing mental health service, which has supported individuals and families across Donegal for decades. With a new name chosen, a dedicated leadership team in place and plans underway to secure an independent premises in Letterkenny, the service is laying the foundations for the constantly growing services. That's great news. You'll remember Liam Cannon, the former director, you know, the future of the service was in jeopardy whenever he announced that he was stepping down, and there was no funding then to secure a replacement for him. And there was much lobbying and much campaigning, and finally interim funding was provided there. So it's great to see that that service is going from strength to strength and, you know, growing to meet the need of the service here in Donegal. Turning now then to another local paper, the Donegal Democrat. A total of 119 pubs have closed their doors in Donegal since 2005, representing a decline of 26.3%. This is according to a new report commissioned by the Drinks Industry Group of Ireland. It shows a continuing decline in the number of pubs in Ireland, with 2,119, or 1 in 4, closing the doors since 2005. The report compiled by economist Anthony Foley shows that an average of 112 pubs stop trading every year, with a further 600 to 1,000 closures estimated over the next decade. It'll be interesting to see if these are urban or rural pubs and if they've been trading for many years or they've opened up new, because I suppose it would give an insight into the economy. You know, is there just not that appetite there for new businesses opening, or is it a long running business that, you know, a long running family business that nobody's been able to take over? Or it could be a sign of the societal shift. You know, has the drinking culture changed? Is it just not sustainable to operate pubs anymore? The Tyrconnell Tribune today, the front page story, family farms under threat on four fronts. The future of the family farm is now under more pressure to survive than at any time since we joined the EEC in 1973, says Joe Sweeney, chair of the Donegal IFA. The proposed measures are in four areas: changes to derogation habitats, the next cap, Mercosur, and the challenge from Donald Trump's threatened tariffs. Each one of these measures will impact farm income, and rural communities will struggle to survive due to a serious loss of income. The derogation changes may cost farmers €300 million a year. Joe Sweeney said all of these challenges will have a negative and telling impact in Donegal and the west of Ireland, where farm income is vulnerable, and he believes the EU wants to see the derogation scrapped. It's always a negative outlook for the farmers, and they just seem to be getting no positives there at the moment at all. You know, their profits are continually being squeezed, and then consumers are picking that up then on the other end as well. And there appears to be, you know, for younger generations coming through of potential farmers, you know, there's no incentive there at all. And I suppose they see the struggles and the hard work that goes into it, and there's no real positive return on that then in terms of, you know, I remember farming used to be a thriving sector, and you know, they used to say where there's muck there's money, but it's very hard to believe that that's the case now with these regulations coming down the tracks. The Derry News: mystery surrounds proposed third access road at Derry City Cemetery. Mystery surrounds Derry City and Strabane District Council's proposed third access road at Derry Cemetery following a statement from Department for Infrastructure. It says it had not been involved in a transport assessment for this development. In June, the Derry News reported on what a resident in the area described as traffic chaos at the cemetery on Father's Day and during the annual blessing of the graves ceremony in June. Council received planning permission for a proposed new access egress road into the cemetery off the Southway carriageway in April 2013. It was approved by councillors in April 2021. However, no work has commenced on the road to date. If anybody has ever been to Derry City Cemetery, it's crazy. It's just obviously an old cemetery, and the roads are so narrow in through it. There's nowhere outside the cemetery really to park, and there is a one-way system in place there in recent years, but if one car is parked on one side, it's just a nightmare trying to get through. And the way the cemetery is laid out, you know, the graves are so close to the edge of the road as well, that, you know, you want to be respectful when driving past as well. Finally for now, the Irish Farmers Journal: CAP 2028 battle begins as shockwaves spread, is the headline. The fundamental changes proposed in the leaked CAP proposals that are being discussed in Brussels as we go to press have sent shockwaves through European and Irish farmers since Monday. The much maligned single fund proposal, as opposed to the current structure of two pillars, is now officially on the table. This is despite serious reservations from many key players, including Commissioner Hansen, since it was first reported over 6 months ago. The fear back then was of greater risk of funds leaking out of farmers and rural dwellers' pockets if specific rural funding was not ring-fenced. On the back of these new proposals, some commentators have suggested up to 30% of funds could be lost. As I mentioned there, you know, bad news again for the farmers, and the thought of losing 30% of funds, and I suppose the cap then is the news emerged, you know, in relation to the cap, that there will be less funding for farmers. But yeah, I suppose despite them making, you know, farming organisations making so many representations, it just seems, you know, the government and Europe are determined to progress with their plans to cut the funding or to divert it elsewhere. If you have any comments on any of those stories, you can get in touch. Give us a call on 91 25000, or text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000. And you can also email comments@highlandradio.com. Now, what has become known as Donegal's Titanic, 15 houses built on a peat bog in Dunloe have been left to rot since they began subsiding. Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Asbaugh joins me now. Good morning to you, Councillor.
Imagine why, Michaela. Have you got the lip balm on the ready?
Yeah, Lee's throwing me under the bus there today, isn't he? It's all necessary, I promise.
I'd say so.
So, Councillor...
I'm looking out the window here. I had all plans to go for a wee walk and my sunblock on, and it's pushing down rain now. Desperate heavy rain for this time of year.
I know, but we'll remain positive anyway. But this isn't a very positive story. So it began to emerge, these houses in Rarkin and Shaskin were subsiding. This emerged quite quickly after they were completed, didn't it?
Well, I remember before I was a councillor, my mother and father had a small little business, Gola Blinds, and myself and my sister, who unfortunately since emigrated, we were doing some work on curtains and blinds in the housing estate. And I remember well when some of the families had moved in, the excitement of having a new home. And it was just, unfortunately, the beginning of the economic crash brought about by the government and the economic elite. But they were still excited. There were some people who moved into our communities, and they were working in the communities, and some of the houses were bought by people within the community. And there was a fair bit of excitement that... that a new beginnings with a new home and in a nice wee new estate, which we all thought was nicely built and well designed. But soon after, it became very apparent that that wasn't the case, that the case was that the estate around it was built in a Shaskin, hence the name, Rarkin Shaskin, and the houses themselves were piled, which left the houses being stable, but unfortunately the grounds around it, that wasn't the case, and they started sinking.
And you can see that from the photos. You know, the houses are on a different level to the tarmac. You know, the ramps into the houses are completely removed from the tarmac.
Yeah, the whole estate sunk, and there has to be questions that has to be answered in relation to government oversight on this here. Did they oversee the estate being built? Who signed off on it? Was there clerks of works? You know, we all know that people can set up companies. Now, I'm not saying that all the big developers are the same, but people can easily set up companies, start contracting, then dissolve if things go belly up, which clearly they have went belly down in this one. And the people who bought and invested into this estate, probably one of the biggest economic investment that they've ever done, were caught out high and dry, unfortunately, in relation to what was their, no doubt, their forever home.
And these houses were purchased for between 155,000 and 190,000 euro, and that's a huge price for a house, you know, any given day, never mind over 15 years
back
ago.
Back in 2007, I think it was, so that's nearly 20 years ago. And it's really, really sad. I would know the estate very well. I've visited quite a lot. I've a very close friend who lives right next door, Hugh Boyle, and you know it's something that we talk about on a very, very regular basis. I'm not sure how healthy that is, but we do. And I think what it does, it just reflects the runaway policy that the government, that the Fianna Fáil-led government back then had in relation to their relationship with what big developers, and big developers had a run of whatever they wanted. They clearly were able to build housing estates, and that what it looks like is without going unchecked. And as somebody says to me, a clear Galway tent politics was well and healthy when it came to this estate. And it's very, very sad. And What now needs to be done is that I've been raising this on a regular enough basis at council level, and I want to recognise the good work of our own council staff now that has been tasked to reach out and make contact with the owners and see how we can progress this and see how feasible, how economically beneficial it would be to taxpayers. Would it be for us to try to take over the estate? I know we can't take it over as a whole because my understanding, right or wrong, is that one of the houses have recently been bought at a very, very, very small fraction in terms of the finances that houses are bought at these days. And it'll be interesting to see if the families respond positively and to see what we as a council must do. But going back again to the unregulated, well, what seems to be very unregulated system by the then government. And
obviously plan and permission was granted, but do you just believe that there wasn't a thorough enough check carried out on the site before building, you know, was commenced and then obviously, you know, building control afterwards?
Well, that's very clear from the photographs. If you see some of them photographs, there's I suppose from what the tarmac is to the front door, you could be talking about an hang up to about 2 metres. And that's not an exaggeration. It's really, really sad. Now, the estate itself is fenced off. The council had to move in due to antisocial behaviour. And also the sadness of it is that people were unfortunately left with no other options but to squat in some of them houses when they found themselves homeless. And obviously we have homeless people within our own community, people from our community who have found themselves in an unfortunate situation, again, due to government policy looking after the big developers and the very elite of this state. But yeah, we had to move in. Now, the antisocial behaviour obviously had stopped once it was fenced off. The people that were homeless had moved on themselves, to my clear understanding of that. And it's just very sad to see it. And I don't believe that we're in the Free State, that this is the only estate that has been left like this. I'm sure there's many, many others right across the 26 counties.
And what about the homeowners that did purchase these properties? Did they have any comeback at all, or are they effectively out the money?
I'll be honest with you, that is something I know nothing about. That's something that's between themselves, the banks, and maybe the developer of the time. So that's not a place that I was willing to go to look into people's personal business. And I get why you would ask the question, but no, I don't know. I have spoken to those who had owned property there, but them questions I didn't ask.
And is there any possibility, you know, you talked about there raising it with the council, is there any possibility that these properties could be brought back into use? Or are they just in such a state of deterioration?
Well, look, I'm no expert, but I have spent a good number of years on building sites as a brickie. And the houses themselves seem to be stable enough. Like I said at the beginning of this interview, they were piled. It's the grounds that are around them. Now, unfortunately, because of antisocial behaviour and vandalism, the front doors and the windows and that, they are now fairly cosmetic stuff, but still expensive stuff that would need to be rectified. Some of the houses are actually blocked up by 9-inch blocks, and some of them have been blocked up and hoarded up by steel doors and steel on the windows. So the others that haven't, they've been fairly trashed now. But what's really, really sad about it is one of the houses in particular that I've been in, I've only been in one or two of them, is that you can still see children's toys lying around.
Right.
Televisions, you know, there's some things still in the kitchen, like coffee and tea and other things. And it's just really, really sad. And
yeah, with someone's home and, you know, saving up for a home.
Clearly somebody's home.
Yeah, and, you know, it could have been their forever home, and then they've had to, you know, whenever people were actually living in this, what kind of effects would they have seen in terms of when they would have noticed it subsiding?
I think it would have been a slow process at the beginning. I remember at the time it being talked about. I had just recently moved home in 2007. And at the time, it was like there was talk that it was sinking, and you know there was mills, and then mills came to inches, and then inches came to feet, and then obviously we ended up with meters of a drop, and very, very, very sad. And I'm not trying to make a comparison at all with the defective blocks and the families and individuals that have been facing over this last number of years. But yet, at the same time, people losing their home and the unfortunate circumstances with the defective blocks. And thankfully now we have four well-able councillors elected to represent them very well and very loudly and very clearly. But people left without their family homes, and those who've been left in a situation where they have to continue to stay within the home, and so I'd imagine it would have been very similar and the same time. So yeah, the families ended up having to move out, and here we are today discussing it, and hopefully if it off benefit to taxpayers, the council are very willing to explore what is the possibilities of this estate, because at the end of the day the estate is unsafe. We can't leave it as it is, and so we need to make a decision, and I would hope that decision very quickly. Do we look to invest taxpayers' money into doing what has to be done to take it back into full use so we can home families in it that are on our council list? And bear in mind, it's right in on the outskirts of Anclochanlia, within a couple of minutes walk. It's right in the heart of an economic area of the town. It's right beside our bay, our pier. And Clonlea is a fantastic, beautiful town with fantastic community groups doing an unbelievable amount of work, and small businesses trying to stay open. And a good news story, the Corner Bar will be opening up very shortly in the area, which gives us great hope after a number of hotels been opening up as well. So I want to wish the new couple all the best on that. But yeah, it's an estate that's an eyesore for us and a concern for the wider community itself. And myself, as the local councillor, I'll be doing everything I can in relation to trying to figure out what is the best steps forward for us as a community and value for money for taxpayers.
Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Asbach, thank you so much for joining me this morning. A couple of comments coming in. Who's responsible for the sewage system in housing estates? Sure, the word Shaskin means swamp. Why would anyone build on that? That's what Councillor Micheál Colmagill-Asbach was saying in relation to the name of the estate. Another listener says, I know a housing estate where the path was sinking. They filled the ground with sheep's wool and that put a stop to it. We have an unlimited resource of sheep's wool and we're not utilising it. Could this be an option? I never heard of that sheep's wool would help, but there you go.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Now, yesterday we were talking about Donegal Flags as the team obviously heads towards the All-Ireland final. I'm joined now by Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
So what's your view, Mary? You don't believe there's enough flags up about the county?
No, I'm just thinking back to 2012 and 2014. And firstly, I suppose I should say well done to some of the towns. You know, I noticed on Facebook, Ballyshannon were out getting the bunting up. And I know Glenties, of course, it's a great effort. And Chrysler as well. There's different places, I suppose. And there are some businesses and, of course, families who have made a great effort.
Yeah.
But I just think it would be lovely if every house in Donegal put up a flag. You know, it's not a lot to ask. Just get one Donegal flag, buy it, make it. Back in 2012, 2014, we did. I remember us making bunting. You don't have to go and buy the plastic stuff. Mm-hmm. I know people don't agree with that. So I just think, you know, there could be more. It helps create the buzz. That's what we do, like at a birthday or a Christmas, we celebrate, we decorate. So let's just do this now for the Donegal team.
And I suppose, knew momentum was building. You know, they got through the quarterfinal, now they're through the semi-final.
Yeah.
So, you know, momentum was building, that I suppose you could argue that the flag should have been out from a long time ago.
Well, yes, that's true. And as I say, some places did. And we have our place decorated, but like I said in my message, we're rural.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're not on the edge of a town. Not a lot of traffic passes us. My daughter did take some of the bunting up to the top of the road so that the bunting's up there on a main road. But I know it's not everybody's thing, but I just think now definitely with 2 weeks, we don't have as long as we did in 2012 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shorter turnaround.
Yeah.
But no, just buy a flag and put it in the garden or hang it out the window or, you know, stick it in a flower pot, but whatever you can do.
I imagine it's great for the team, you know, driving along and seeing, you know, even on that journey to Crow Park on the day, seeing the flags and the bunting out and, you know, driving through their local areas. It shows, you know, that we're all behind them.
Well, that's true. I think the team know by the roar and the crowds. Like, I thought it was just incredible. And the Monaghan game as well. I was lucky to get to Croke Park twice. But the I think the team know we're behind them. And to be honest, I think they're so hyper-focused, they probably don't see anything. That they're focused on the end game. Mm-hmm. But then it's when they come back. We need to have it ready for when they come back and all of that. And it's for, not everybody will get to Croke Park. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, I'm a club member, but I'm not sure will I get to Croke Park. So everybody, we need to be here. We need to be ready to celebrate for everybody in the county that's not in Croke Park.
Absolutely. I'm also joined by Bernie. Bernie, you live in Tyrone and you have your Donegal flags out.
Oh, I have mine up all summer. always have them up every time they're playing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't not have them up because I think it's just a done thing that you need them up to support your county, especially when you're living, you know, when you're living across the border.
Mm. That's it. You let people know who you're supporting anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Now, some people mightn't like it, but I don't really care. I have them up and I have bunting coming today. Now, I do have bunting already up and I have two big flags up, but I'll be maybe this evening. Well, it's raining this evening, so it could be tomorrow. I'll have my 30 feet bunting all round my garden.
Yeah. But it's a real community spirit even if you're in Tyrone, but you're supporting Donegal, you know, it's that bit of crack between people as well.
Yeah, that's true. And like, I've got three kids and not one of them's into football of any kind.
Mm.
So I'm the only one, well, there's two of them born in Donegal, but if I don't put them up, there's nobody else going to put them up in the house. So I make sure that we have our flags and our road as well. I would say every second house is a Donegal person living up there, married up there. And you have some has a wee flag up, all right, but not there's not enough. I think if you're a Donegal person, it doesn't matter what county you're living in, you should just show up and support your team.
Yeah.
Because they are giving up their free time.
Absolutely.
They are doing it absolutely free of charge and put an awful lot of work into it. So we should support them.
Yeah.
It's not too much to ask to put a wee flag up.
And I know we'd hope that Donegal will be back next year, but you just don't know and you have to make the most of these, you know, everything. It's so fluid, the game, that, you know, we need to make the most of this situation, I suppose.
It's not even about getting to All Ireland. Yeah, they've got us brilliant, and I know they will take it. But even for the Ulsters, they should have had flags up.
Yeah.
You know, why wait till we get to a final to decorate the place up?
Yeah. Because I live in Tyrone myself, and even, you know, I remember years ago, you know, there was houses painted and there was definitely a lot more flags, without a doubt. And, you know, even from very early on in the championship as well. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
you had the car flags and everything.
Yeah, that's right. Even cars was painted, tyres was painted.
Yeah.
Curbs was painted. Yeah. No, I do agree with your post. There definitely isn't enough up. Mm. I did see a good few towns last night that had looking for ones to come and help.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this week coming, you know,
yeah,
there will
getting,
be more. But
getting the resources gathered,
should have been up before.
Yeah.
Should have been up before now. They should have been supporting the team before now. Why wait to the very last kick of the ball, if you know what I mean?
And I saw someone arguing that maybe it's because schools, you know, the children are out of school now, that, you know, when it was later in the year, the children were there, and I suppose maybe schools were decorating outside their premises as well. Maybe that was adding to it.
No, they were at school whenever they won the Ulster, so that doesn't even come into it.
Just didn't come out and support enough.
No, I don't think there was enough stuff up for the Ulster final.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's a big thing. Ulster final is the biggest thing. It's bigger than the rest of the provinces down the country. They don't really look at it the way we look at it up here.
Yeah.
Because we've got a hard group to get through. Mm. A fair play to the boys. They're up there nearly every year. You know.
And it's just,
definitely support them.
You know, mentioned, you know, they don't get paid for it. And it's just, coming out behind them and, you know, giving them as much support and encouraging them on. And I suppose, you know, although they don't get paid for it, that kind of, you know, helps them along the way, knowing that the people are behind them. And, you know, that they're creating this momentum within their community.
Yeah. We were at the game down Roscommon, near Mayo, and we were waiting and waiting for the boys to come out from the back.
Mm-hmm.
And out comes Ryan McHugh on the phone. We just stopped him for a quick photograph and he says, I've got to go. The wife's in labour.
Oh.
So he's given up all his free time
yeah.
and his wife in labour. He had to run from Roscommon to go to Donegal to get, you know, to be there with her. But he got there and all that crack.
Yeah, the
but
sacrifices
that is the
dedication
they make. That them boys have. So, yeah, so we should be absolutely supporting them. Now, I do always have my flag up because I live in Tyrone as well and they don't actually like it, but anyway.
Yeah, well, you do,
I have
you do right.
It, you know, more than anything else.
You do right,
yeah.
Bernie.
You better have yours up as well.
I'm also joined by
have
Lisa.
You got yours up?
Well, I'm from Tyrone and live in Tyrone, so.
All right.
But you know what? I was saying yesterday that I do think there is a great momentum, you know, even at work here. So, I'll obviously be supporting Donegal, I think. Next weekend, but there is a lovely buzz, I think, around here at work, you know, different plans and stuff. I do think, it's good, but no Donegal flag outside my house, unfortunately.
I'll find it out where that and put one there for you.
Thank you so much for that, Bernie. Lisa's on the line as well. Lisa, you believe Armagh does the best?
Oh, without a doubt. I know that a lot of people probably doesn't agree with it, but it doesn't matter if Armagh's win and lose or draw, they have a full crowd behind them at every single match.
Mm-hmm.
Every match. And do you know what? If the people would tell the truth, they could put their hands up and say, totally agree with it.
Mm.
All the time. Armagh definitely have great support.
So the flags be out in Armagh and people travel to the games a lot?
Everywhere. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And how early would you put the flags out? We heard Bernie there saying, you know, the Ulster final, the flags should have been out then as well.
Oh, yes, even before the Ulster final once. Before the Ulster final, the flags would be up and support travel to wherever the matches are.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where they have to go to play, the crowd will follow.
And
I think, personally, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of that,
you know,
thing about fair weather fans. You know, you can't just jump on board then once they get to the semi-final or the All-Ireland final. It does need to be that year-round support as well.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And, you know, you kind of meet the same people.
Mm.
You know, kind of at different matches. Like, me and my friend would go to all the matches, and the majority of the matches this year, we have sat beside these two girls.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to be that where their tickets were the same as ours.
Yeah.
And that's how we got to know them. It's just by going to the matches.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's, you know, what it's
you
about,
know,
bringing
people
together.
Yeah.
And do you notice a change, not in relation to your ma, but we were discussing there how about years ago there would have been a lot more support in terms of flags out and flags and cars. Do you notice...
There would, yeah.
That's changed, not particularly in Armagh, because you're saying, you know, they're great at supporting, but other, you know, say teams in Ulster.
I would say yes. Mm. Yeah. Big time. I don't know what it is, whether people just, I don't know if it's down to expense, going to matches.
Mm.
Although you don't have to go to the matches. You can, if it was on TV, although it doesn't be on TV all the time either, so people are missing out there as well, which... I think it's very unfair, especially for elderly people who would have been going
absolutely.
To matches years ago and then now they're not fit maybe to go.
Yeah, and especially for the national game,
then,
it's just crazy that you have to pay. Or, you know, it mightn't even be, you can't get access to it at all.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, who will you be supporting next weekend?
Well, I will go for Donegal because of Ulster.
Yes.
Kerry, yes, they're a good team, but they've won it that many times. I would
you
like
think
to
they've had
Donegal.
Enough now?
As much as Donegal beat Armagh, but that's the way it goes.
Mm.
I would like to see Donegal because of, obviously, the Ulster.
Yeah.
And I do believe they can do it.
Yeah, definitely.
I do believe they can do it, you know, and hope they do it. It'll be great.
Absolutely.
So it would for... the whole of Ulster.
Yeah, and
one.
It is that buzz for Ulster as well. And, you know, the team travelling home through Ulster as well. It is, although, you know, it's not going to say Armagh or Tyrone, but it's the province as a whole, that it is the buzz ripples through.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's great buzz. Now, I have, do you know what? I'm so happy it was there last year for all the matches. Just the whole buzz about it. And I don't know, you get a real adrenaline.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're a diehard fan by the sounds of it, Lisa.
Oh, it's great. I love it so much. Do you know what? It gives you something to look forward to.
Yeah, I know, definitely. You know, I know a lot of people, yeah, like that, and they just, you know, live for watching the games at the weekend, yeah.
And for the team as well. Mm. Like they give up a lot of their family time, training, don't get paid for it.
Mm.
A lot of dedication put in that, so I think they deserve to have the crowd behind them.
Yeah, definitely.
Cheer them on.
Thanks so much for joining us. That is Lisa, Bernie and Mary there. So Lisa's saying that the Armagh fans do your best and that obviously we need to get more flags out in Donegal. And yesterday we touched on this and I was conscious of it driving home, and I was driving through Port Hall yesterday and there was a lot of flags lining the road there at part of the road in Port Hall. And I suppose I mentioned yesterday that Lifford, you know, they have loads of flags out there. There's massive signs. There's a local business that, you know, they always come out and support Donegal, and they have cutouts of Jim McGuinness. It would nearly frighten the life out of you at night, but it's great to see. And, you know, it just creates that buzz, as I've talked so much about there this morning. So if you've got a view on that, is there enough flags up? What's your area like? Are you going to put out flags this weekend, or maybe you kind of disagree that, you know, flags are a thing of the past? Get in touch by giving us a call on 9125000 or text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000. Loads of comments coming in as it relates to flags in support of Donegal in the All-Ireland final. It's up to people to support when they want. It's great to see our county doing so well. The person on chatting seems to be a diehard GAA fan, aka Grab All Association support at €100 a pop. Not everybody can afford that kind of money. It's a rip-off. It is a very expensive, the tickets are very, very expensive, but I suppose a lot of people, you know, maybe they don't have any other interest, and you know, that's their outlet in life, and that's what they want to save and spend their money on. Another listener says, my flag is up since before the Ulster semi-final and I'm in Galway City. I think it's great seeing all the flags all around us. We have Bernie on there and she was saying that, you know, she lives in Tyrone, has her flag up. It's great to see, you know, it's a sense of home as well for people having their flag up and remembering, remembering where they come from. Well done, Bernie. My flag is up and I'm sending a Donegal flag up to your relation in Meath. Another listener says, this whole football thing, people will be bankrupt. Say hotels doubled their prices after the game the last day when we beat Meath. Another thing, tickets are people are getting tickets that have hardly been at the game all year, and also ones coming from all over the world getting tickets, so there will be plenty without. I do think that's, I know you can't obviously control it, but for people who travel, you know, to the games all year round, you know, these fair weather fans then getting tickets for the All-Ireland final. In near Portofino, my flag is on the roof, dancing with the wind, a listener says. Another says, we're hand painting our signs, and so give us another day or two. We're going circular with reclaimed wood for signs and old fabric for bunting. Supporting our community and county is up there on our sustainability list. Up Donegal, says that listener. That sounds great. I'd love if you could send us in a photo whenever you have that done. Glendies is very poor with flags, another person says. Not everyone is into GAA. Well done to Donegal, but the whole sport is in a bit of a mess over access to matches and funding. Flags are like everything else. They have doubled in price. I think it's disgraceful for children to have to pay €100 for a ticket. Prices are through the roof. People can't afford to support Donegal. And like that other previous listener said, you know, you can use other, you don't have to go out and buy brand new flags. You can use other elements, you know, anything green and yellow will do. Have Donegal flags up all season, says this listener. If you're supporting the Donegal team, put out a flag, but please don't paint the curbs. This is criminal damage and could be liable to prosecution. Hi there, I hope you're well. In 2012 and 2014, schools were back before the final at the end of September. The change of date might have impacted on this. The schools had competitions and arts projects, wrote poems and songs, etc. That comes in from Kate in Buncrana. There is no real excitement for things anymore. I blame social media. No one lives in the real world. Well, I suppose, yeah, there is a lot of buzz on social media, and every single post or second post you see relates to the match. But yeah, I suppose that's what people are trying to encourage others to do, to, you know, create a buzz within their local communities. I know some areas have made a great effort, Ballyshannon in Glenties, but no, we have our house decorated flags and bunting, but we are rural. I remember 2012 and 2014 cars were painted. No, we don't have enough flags. And another reason why July, not the month for the All-Ireland, all the schools and the children made a great effort with all the colours when the final was a September delight. Another listener says, my flag is flying high in Mayo. Another says, need more flags up. Let's get behind official Donegal GAA. Whoop, whoop, up at Donegal. Compared to 92, 2012 and 2014, the response has been very poor from the business community. I've seen nothing but businesses putting up signs in support and wishing the team well. And they have been up for quite some time as well. But maybe they're just in the areas that I be passing through. But I do think the businesses have come out in great support. We only got to the final on Sunday with the short turnaround. It takes a while. Wait until next week. It will all change. Glenty's looking good, another listener says. I have my flag up since before the Derry match, and it will be up long after we beat Kerry. Have my flag up since the start of the championship, bunting up for the semi-final. There you go. They put them up in different stages depending on how well the team does. There are no supporters out there like Armagh fans. I'm only being honest. We were speaking to Lisa, I think it was, and she believes that Armagh fans are the best. A tough final. I feel like Kerry have the psychological drop in Donegal due to their history and the last final in 2012 and that dreadful goalkeeper error, which our current keeper is not immune to. We also need to up our two-pointer game, but Donegal Abu, says that listener. Another person says, I'm in Cavan and my flag is up since the week of the Ulster final. And another says, up since the start of the championship, every year is the same. Yeah, you should be supporting them from the very start.